Well, thank you very much for the welcome this morning. It's a real privilege to be with you on this special day. Thanks to everybody who's taken part so far, to the choir and the children's address, that story of Esther. It's a great story, isn't it? And the musicians, thank you very much, everybody. It's great to be with you. And there has been a theme, hasn't there, to our service already this morning? The theme of helping and of being sent to help and to use our gifts for others. But what do we mean really by helping others? What does it mean to be sent? As we were hearing, even as we were singing together, freely you have received, freely give. What does that mean for us in everyday life? And that's what we want to think about for a few minutes this morning. I want to be very practical, want to be very simple, hopefully straightforward. Because in a sense, help is very straightforward, isn't it? It's a very practical thing. We often think of help in a very practical way. We're familiar with that. We don't need to be taught what that means. We had a family bereavement about 6 months ago, just over 6 months ago. And I remember as my wife and I drove up to our relative's home, there was an uncle who was out sweeping the driveway. And we arrived in and people had made meals and there were trebiachs everywhere. And people had really come round and had been helping in a very practical way. And we're used to that, aren't we? We know what that means. Northern Ireland, I think, is a great place for practical help. But I want us to focus a little bit more this morning on what I might call personal help, person-to-person help. It's linked, of course, with the more practical doing kind of help, and one nearly arises out of the other. But I want us to think a little bit of what it means to help someone at the level of their heart. If practical help is doing good things and good works, then personal help is more along helping the heart of the person. How do we help personally? I suppose the Bible talks a lot about this as well. It talks about it in terms of the one another's of the New Testament. Befriend one another, Paul tells the Romans in chapter 15. Support one another, we read in Ephesians. Comfort one another. Encourage, strengthen one another, build one another up, warn one another, admonish one another, submit to one another, serve one another, bear one another's burdens. It's a more personal kind of help that's captured, I think, in those one another's. And we want to think a bit about that this morning. I know it's a PW morning, but men, you've got to tune in. No switching off, no going back over yesterday's rugby or whatever. Not that you would want to do that, given the scoreline that there was for the local lads. But I want everybody to tune in because, of course, this is something that is there for all of us and is important for all of us. So we want to think a bit about personal help, not just the kind of help where you say, thanks for doing that, but the kind of help where you say, you know, that really did me good. That really helped me. A year or two ago, I went through a stressful period where I had a period of conflict with someone in my life. It was a stressful time. I felt that I'd been wronged. I'd been wrongly accused. And at that time, I had a couple of friends that I was able to talk to. I was able to share with them what was going on. They were able to support me and to encourage me. They were able even to admonish me, to warn me, to tell me where I could go wrong here and where I had to be corrected. They were able to speak truth in love to me. And they were a real personal help. Practical help and personal help. I fear that we're very, very good at the practical help, but we have a way to go in terms of that more personal help. And yet I hope along with me you think to yourself, well, I would love to do that. I would love to live out all of those one another's of the New Testament. I think God has sent me, and yes, he has. Let me tell you now, he has sent you all to do that. Those one another's apply to all of us. I would like to be not just that good practical help, but a good, wise, personal help. So, I want you this morning to engage with this and to think. I want you to think of one person, everybody. You've got to think of one person that what we're going to think about this morning then could apply to in your relationship with them. Think of someone that you could help. The theme of the morning is helping others and being sent, so let's make it very practical. Let me help you with this by asking, who has God put in your way that you could be a help to? Who has God put on your heart? Maybe it's someone you know, someone you're already close to. Maybe it's someone you don't know so well, but you're burdened to help them. Or someone that God just seems to have brought into your life and landed in front of you. They may be a Christian, they may not be a Christian. But what we're saying this morning then, I want you to apply that to that person and how you might be able to help them. Well, as we think about helping, we've got to start at the start. And we've got to start by remembering that God is our helper. God, remember, made man and woman in his image. They were made to reflect God in different ways. Woman was to reflect God as a helper. She was to help Adam. She was to aid him, to assist him. She was to make up what was incomplete about him. That was the particular bit of God that the woman was to reflect. She was to be a helper. And she was reflecting God and being a helper because God is a helper. The Bible, from beginning to end, talks about God as our helper. The Psalms are full of God being our help. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Your most common prayer to God is, help, help me. And it's a good prayer. Before we came in this morning, I had the privilege of joining your elders for a time of prayer. Let me encourage you, by the way, your elders gather in the morning and they pray for you. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful to know that those who are shepherding you here and have that responsibility are praying for you before the service. And, you know, I was listening as we were praying together, and one of those words that kept coming up as we were bringing needs before the Lord was help, help, so on, so help in this situation. It's our most common prayer, I think, to God. And then, of course, Jesus comes into this world, breaks through into history as a helper to us, to help us at our deepest point of need and to be a savior to us, saving us from our sins. And not only does he do that and then go back into heaven to come again in the future, but he leaves a helper here amongst us and dwelling within us, the Holy Spirit, who is that helper, that counselor that Jesus has left. God is our helper. But where do we start in helping others? Because it would be tempting for you to think this morning, well, you know, I'm not an Isaiah. I know we read from Isaiah chapter 6, those wonderful words, but you know, I'm not an Isaiah, and I'm not a Jeremiah, and Esther, I would love to be an Esther, but I'm not an Esther. And yet, what were those words, wonderful words from John chapter 20 that we were reminded of earlier? Just as the Father has sent me, Jesus said to his disciples, so I have sent you. And as he says that to his disciples, that, in a sense, flows down through the ages to all of us who become the disciples and followers of Christ. I have sent you. So where do we begin then? Having been sent And knowing that our responsibility then is to help, where do we begin? Well, we begin firstly with new eyes. We need new eyes. We need new eyes to see ourselves as helpers and others as needing help. One of the ways that the Bible speaks about this is by calling us servants. Jesus himself said that he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He came as a servant. He came as one who would help to give his life for others in their greatest need so that they might be helped. And of course, he shows us this very dramatically. Remember the night before his crucifixion. He washes his disciples' feet. He humbles himself. He takes that position of lowliness. He girds himself with a towel. He gets down on his knees, and to the absolute shock and scandal, if you like, amongst the disciples, he begins to cleanse the grime and the smell of those disciples' feet. And then he says to them, "Do as I have done to you." You see, you're to be servants. You're to be helpers of one another. But do you see that? Do you always think of yourself in that way? Do you see that as your identity? I think of that person then that you thought about a few minutes ago. That person, remember, that you're going to help. Do you see yourself as their servant? Is it hard to see that? It takes faith to see things that are not obvious, but by faith you must see yourself as a servant of men. I'm here to help you, is the way you're thinking. I'm here to kneel before you, to put your needs first, to get ready, to get my hands dirty with the smell and the grime of your life so that I could be a cleansing, refreshing influence. That's what my friends did for me about over a year ago in that incident I was telling you about. They came along and they got dirty with the smell and the grime of what was going on in my life, but they were then a cleansing, helping, refreshing influence. They were servants. You see, it's important that you see that with those new eyes, because if you see others that way and if you see yourself as that kind of servant, then that affects how you treat people. It will affect how you do those good works that we've been talking about. You must see yourself as a servant. You need new eyes, firstly. Secondly, you need to move towards the person that you're going to help. That arises, doesn't it, out of the first. If you're going to serve them, you've got to move towards them. And we move towards people because God, our helper, moved towards us, didn't he? God so loved the world that he gave his Son. And the Son was sent as we too are sent. And the Word becomes flesh and he dwells among us. God in love then moves towards us and comes to us. And we therefore are to move towards others. Do you do that as a servant? There are many things that can, I think, keep us from moving towards others or even cause us to move away from people. Fear of someone's response, fear of what someone might think of you, shyness, fear of getting it wrong, fear of not having enough time. I don't want to commit to something that I'm not going to be able to see through. I've got to make a priority of this and set time aside for us. You see, fears can come in and they can hijack that desire to be a help. They can come in and cause us to stumble as we are sent to others. But remember, you're a servant. You're a slave by definition. You're a helper like your God. And so we have to move towards other people. That's where helping others has to start. We go over to someone. We go over to them. We say, "How are you?" I had a family gathering some time back, and I found out that the only other male family member there was going to be a family member that I didn't know very well. And I was distracted by this beforehand, and it was nagging at my mind, and it began to put a cloud over this get-together that we were coming to. And I was imagining in my mind all kinds of difficulties, awkward silences, not knowing what to speak about, and so forth. And then, of course, it just came to me. Just move towards the person. Move towards them. And so we move towards those that we're going to help. We go over to them. We make that phone call. We send that text. We approach the person in the car park as we're leaving today. How are you? How are things going? You see, we move towards someone. We break that ice, and every word that we speak is either going to be a bridge towards helping that person or a barrier. Every word either moving towards or moving away. We move towards then secondly. So we see with new eyes that we are there as servants and helpers. Secondly, we move towards people. Thirdly, then in order to really help others, we've got to go a bit deeper. We've got to really get down to a personal level with others. If we're going to encourage them, if we're going to comfort others, if we're going to serve them, if we're going to build them up. And you might think, you know, but I don't know how to do any of that. I don't know how to bear someone's burdens. I don't know how to serve them and encourage them. I'm not into that. I don't do that. I'm not good at that. It would be just a lot easier to offer practical help. And of course, that's still a good thing. But really, if you're going to help someone, you've got to go a bit deeper, haven't you, in their lives. You've got to try and get towards their heart and see what's going on. How do you do that? Well, you go deeper. Most conversations go along the lines of, how you doing, and I'm not too bad, and that's it, isn't it, if we're honest. I heard someone talk during the week about the miracle of the church car park. Have you heard about this? The miracle of the church car park? You know what it's like on a Sunday morning when you're going out to church, and especially maybe if you've got a family and younger children, and you're leaving the house, and you're a bit late, and everyone's a bit frazzled, and you're telling the children who are bickering in the back of the car, be quiet, stop that, and one's getting at the other, and one's getting at the other, and your wife's saying to you, now calm down, dear, and you're going, I am calm, of course I'm calm. You know what it's like, don't you? And then things are at that high level of tension, and things are still going on in the back seat. And then you pull into the church car park, and you all get out of the car, and you walk towards the church, and you come into the foyer, and one of the people in the foyer, the welcoming team, greets you and says, how are you? And you go, I'm fine. Everything's great. Okay. As if there's a kind of a halo just above the head there. The miracle of the church car park. I thought it was a great illustration. How often do we really go deeper with one another in how we relate to each other? I think we're a bit too satisfied with just how you doing and I'm not too bad, thanks. And I think we need to get to, well, how are you really doing? How are things really going? How's life going for you? What about such and such a situation in your life? How did that go? Or how are you getting through that? Do you see how you're beginning to just get a bit deeper? How you're beginning to get towards the person's heart, towards what's really going on, towards the real person? We can ask about those aspects of life that tend to be a bit closer to the heart. And often it's about the hard things, isn't it? It's the kind of things that we pray for at the prayer meeting. And then we go to someone and we say, look, we were praying about that. Tell me, how's it going? And of course, it's not just the hard stuff. It's about people's interests and what they enjoy and what they love and what's good, because that's getting to the heart as well. You know, you seem to really love gardening, or you seem to be really into the cooking or the baking or the sewing, or that's the ladies, by the way. Whatever it is, part of you maybe is thinking, you know, I'm not sure if I want to go there with people. I'm not sure if I want to really get into someone's life at that level. Well, don't panic. Don't panic. You have a helper. We were singing about it just a few minutes ago, about the confidence and strength that we have in God. We've been thinking about that already, and that's where we need our help for these things. Part of the reason why sometimes we're afraid to go there with people is that we're afraid really to get deeper, because we don't quite know what we're going to say. We think to ourselves, well, I don't really know my Bible that well, and I'm afraid of somebody coming out with something, and I'll just not know what to say. How can I understand a person well enough to know how to help? Well, remember, we've got new eyes. We're servants. We're moving towards people. We're going a bit deeper. Fourthly, we need to listen. We need to listen well. God is the perfect listener. God is the listener par excellence. How does he do it? Whenever you think about it, God is able somehow to hear the collective and the individual cries of his people all over the world, all of the time, the praise, the requests, the thankfulness, the cries of despair. God is able to hear fully and clearly and personally and completely each word of each child everywhere, all over the world, and he is able to respond perfectly, sufficiently, and appropriately to everyone. Isn't that incredible that God can listen in that way? What must it have been like to have watched Jesus in action, to have just watched Jesus listening to someone, because there you were seeing God in the flesh listening. The attention that Jesus must have given to the person that he was listening to, not in some kind of intimidating way, not staring in a kind of intimidating way, but giving full attention, fully tuned in to the person who was in front of him. How well do you listen to others? Oh, there are many distractions, aren't there, in this life? What needs done? There are other people that can distract you as well. Things that are happening. Some of you are distracted. I'm not thinking my roast is going to get burnt if this service doesn't come to an end soon. There are many things that can come in there and can distract us, can keep us from fully tuning in to someone else. We've got to learn to listen well. What do we listen for? We're listening for what's good in a person's life. Listen out for where God is on the move in someone's life. What is God doing? Where do you see encouraging things? Where do you see the fruit of the Spirit? Listen for it. Look out for it in a person's life. If they're a believer, it will be there. We can listen not only for good things, we listen for hard things. Listen out for where the struggles are, the problems. It's often that can come up in conversation, isn't it? Where are things hard? Listen out for that. It must be hard for you. But also listen out for the bad. There'll be bad things too. There'll be not just the struggles, there'll be sins. And yes, we've got to listen out for those and try to offer help where we can there as well. We listen for the good and the hard and the bad, but we listen. And whenever we listen, that can then help us in knowing how to respond. That's the fourth thing. Fifthly, not only do we move towards and go deeper and listen well, but remember, you're a servant, you've got to help this person, and you've got to be personal with them. You've got to be personal. You've got to relate as a real person. As you help this person, you're not some kind of book giving out information. You're not a handyman trying to fix the person's life. You're a person, and you've got a life as well. And you've got to be personal. Personal in the same way that God is personal. What do we mean when we talk about God being personal? We mean that God acts like a person. God speaks. God listens. God relates. God reveals himself to us, doesn't he? God discloses himself to us, so much so that God took on flesh and lived among us, pitched his tent among us, is the sense of what John is saying in chapter 1 of his gospel. Jesus shares his life with us, God sharing his life with us in a personal way. And because God has been personal with us, then we need to be personal with each other. So we listen well, but we also ask, and we also begin to disclose something of ourselves. Yes, let me tell you about how I struggled with something like that as well. You see, God has been personal with us, and we are not to be then distant with each other. We have to relate personally. We've got to speak personally. I think, to come back to the car park miracle thing, I think it's very easy for us, isn't it? We run into church and we're all suited up, and we can give the impression that we have it all together, that my spiritual life is some kind of continuous mountaintop experience, that my godliness would put the Puritans to shame. But we've got to learn to be that little bit more real, I think, with each other, that little bit more authentic, that little bit more personal, that little bit more ready to talk about the struggles to the right person, that little bit more ready to ask for help. We want to be personal. Think of how personal Jesus was as he came to help us. We have a personal God who relates personally, and we want to be his image bearers. So we're servants with new eyes. We see that we're servants. We move towards each other. We begin to go deeper in those conversations. We listen well as we relate to each other. And then we begin to be that little bit more personal and to disclose something of ourselves. And this is where it all leads. It all leads finally to something very, very simple. It leads to asking for prayer. Asking for prayer. When someone reveals their heart to you, or you reveal to someone else what's really going on in your life, the natural thing then is, of course, to want to connect God and his promises and his word to that issue that's going on in our lives. And God's word does connect very, very closely and in a very real way to those things that are going on, those nitty-gritty things, that bickering in the back of the car on the way to church. God's word does connect to those. God's word is for those moments and for those situations. How do we do that? How do we begin to connect what God is and has promised and what he says right into these moments of life where we need help? How do we help others? Well, again, you may feel, I don't know my Bible very well. I don't have the knockout verse here. I don't know what scripture to share. But you can still connect the person to who God is and what God has promised with two simple questions. And the first one is this: how can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? You've moved towards the person. You've gone deeper. You've listened well. You've understood. You really want to speak the truth in love to them. You really want to help them. And next you ask them, how can I pray for you? I've driven here this morning, and whilst it didn't happen this morning, if my wife had asked me, how can I pray for you? What might I have said to her? Going by how we often pray in our prayer meetings, I think it would be along the lines of pray for traveling mercies. It's one of the things, isn't it, that we mention a lot, pray for traveling mercies. And it's not a bad prayer. Of course, we need the Lord's mercy and protection as we travel. But let's open that one up a bit more. Because what I could have maybe said to her is, well, pray, yes, that the Lord would look after me. But pray that as I'm driving to the church this morning, that that I would use the time well in the car. Pray that as I'm going, my mind would be getting ready for worship with God's people. Pray that I wouldn't be afraid of what people are going to think of me, or if they think the sermon's going to be terrible or something like that. Pray that I wouldn't be concerned about that, but pray that I would just want to be a blessing to these people in Brookside, and most of all to worship our living God and to come and serve him. Will you pray that for me? Because I know when I'm driving to that church this morning, I'm going to have a struggle in my mind. I'm going to be really, really struggling. My mind will be straying and going on to all kinds of other things, but I want to be ready to worship God. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference whenever you ask, how can I pray for you, and someone begins to share those personal needs? A second question that you can ask the person that you're going to be helping is, and will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? Will you pray for me that I know how to deal with this situation? This is what I had to, back to that situation of a couple of years ago where my friends came and supported me. I really had to ask them to pray for me. Pray for me that I know how to handle this. Well, pray for me that I know how to respond to this situation and to this person. I really don't know what to do here. Pray that I won't be consumed with worry. Pray that I won't be angry and vengeful in my heart. Will you pray for me? Asking for prayer. Do you see how asking for prayer begins then to, having got to those more personal matters, it begins to connect God with what's going on in a person's life? And it helps you to help them. Boy, you would be helping one another if those words, how can I pray for you and will you pray for me, if those words became part of the everyday currency of conversation in this church. Boy, you'd be helping others. Well, you've moved towards one another, you've gone deeper as servants of each other, you've been listening, you've been personal with one another, you've asked for prayer, you've been praying for the person. Don't leave it there. Follow up. Follow up with the person. I was praying for you today. I was praying for that thing you were facing last week. I was praying about how you were handling that situation. Tell me, how's it going? How's God working there? How is that prayer being answered? Do you know, it's wonderful. When I heard that the topic of the sermon this morning, helping others, it did excite me, because we get to reflect God as a helper. God is our helper. We get to reflect him in our relationships with one another. And what's more, we have all the help of the Holy Spirit who is within us. Let me finish with words of Jesus that are again in the Gospel of John. Very close to those, in time to those words that we heard from John chapter 20. This is John chapter 14. Jesus says to his disciples, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Let's pray together. Father, as we've thought through these things together, we confess, Lord, that these things are a challenge to us, that, Lord, frequently we fail to help one another in the ways we've described. We fail to serve one another and encourage one another. We fail, Lord, to get into those areas of life where really we most need help and encouragement. Lord, we ask forgiveness, we pray for grace, and we thank you, Lord, that there is grace. You have given us a helper who will be with us, who is in us, who is the perfect helper and is helping us as we seek then to help one another. And so, Lord, with great confidence then, we Pray, Lord, for grace to live these things out. Help us as we think about that one person that each of us have been considering this morning. Help us, Lord, as we go forth now, as we have been sent by you. We say, Lord, as Isaiah did, here am I, Lord. Send me as I go forth to help others. May it be all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.